Welcome to That Film Stew. I'm Jason.
And I'm Luke.
And this is That Movie Review. Today we'll be discussing Spectre. So if you haven't watched Spectre, be warned, we will be discussing spoilers. Okay, Luke, I'll throw it over to you. Start us off with the plot.
A cryptic message from the past leads James Bond, played by Daniel Craig, to Mexico City and Rome, where he meets the beautiful widow, played by Monica Bellucci, of an infamous criminal. After infiltrating a secret meeting, 007 uncovers the existence of the sinister organisation, Spectre. Needing the help of the daughter of an old nemesis, he embarks on a mission to find her. As Bond ventures toward the heart of Spectre, he discovers a chilling connection between himself and the enemy, played by Christoph Waltz.
Okay, very nicely done. All right, so obviously, Bond film, this is the fourth one with Daniel Craig coming back, the second film after Skyfall, directed by Sam Mendes. Let's just do a quick roundup of our thoughts of the three movies before sort of going into it, just so we know where we are.
Well, if I'm going to rank them,
yep.
Let's start with that. I think like most people, I'm going to go Skyfall, Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace.
Cool. Done. Same page. So, yeah, no arguments there.
I absolutely loved Casino Royale.
Like, I think reinventing the franchise, bringing it back nice and fresh.
He wasn't the smooth Bond that we get to see in Spectre. He was on his way. Quantum of Solace, he did have a lot of problems. I'm pretty sure it was a victim of the writer's strike.
Okay.
Maybe a couple more rewrites would have got it where it needs to be.
I kind of like to think of Quantum of Solace as sort of like, it felt like a Bond movie, but like all the bad aspects of the Bond movies. That makes sense, you know, like the cheesiness, the over-the-top action scenes and stuff like that.
Well, I was really excited for Quantum because we did get a cliffhanger on Casino Royale.
And it did carry
Quantum
through. Which
just picks off where the first movie left. But it just didn't, for me, live up to that potential. And walking out of Skyfall, I immediately loved that movie.
Yeah, no, definitely the best one in the franchise at that point in time anyway.
And it allowed Daniel Craig to loosen up a little bit as well, because he came in, you know, he was serious, stiff, and then we got elements of Bond coming through, like we got the Aston Martin,
yeah,
and the Bond theme. And
but also a very different aspect was the like the personal story to the plot in Skyfall.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it wasn't until like the Timothy Dalton movies that we really got to see a different side of Bond and see like a personality outside of just being an agent. And Daniel Craig, it's really, you know, capitalised on that. It's very much about the man.
Yeah. And of course, then you have the send-off with M, which was touching, which brings us into Spectre. All right, so as with every Bond movie, you've got an opening scene, you've got a really ridiculous song, lots of cool visuals. What are your thoughts on Spectre's attempt?
Usually, for the most part, I love the openings. I loved the Bond song. Probably too much topless Daniel Craig and not enough naked ladies for my liking.
And then even with the naked ladies, a little bit too much giant octopus tentacle action going on there, which...
Yeah.
A bit. Yeah, I don't know.
Interesting use of the tentacles, but let's just cut through it and get to it. Sam Smith, writing's on the wall. What do you think?
Not a fan of that song. Didn't work. I guess... He uses sort of two voices when he's singing, which is cool. That's his sort of thing. One half of the song sounded like, you know, like a Bond theme. And then the other half was like, oh, what the hell am I listening to? Like, but
I'm the same. Whenever he got high, that's when I had to switch off.
And I was thinking, you know, obviously when he goes high, you get the female voice. And I prefer the female songs in as the Bond songs. So,
I mean,
but it didn't work. It didn't work.
It does sound like, more so, not when he's got his high voice, but it does sound like a Bond song. It doesn't not... It fits.
Yeah, I just didn't like it. It has those sort of riffs that work with the songs. But yeah, for me, one of the weaker opening credits.
I was very pleased when it finished.
No more octopus tentacles for me.
I mean, I can take the tentacles. Okay, that didn't quite come out right. It's just the song.
I will take them, and I will take them well.
That was a bit much.
All right, let's have a quick chat about... Now, obviously, we've got sort of two sets of cast here. We've got a returning cast, and we've got some new faces coming in. So, obviously, returning cast, Daniel Craig, top of his game. Has he still got it?
Oh, he's definitely still got it.
Yeah. I want him to keep getting it.
Just cannot fault him at all in this movie. Like, he's just got to the point now where I just see him as Bond.
Yeah, like, people ask, you know, who's your favourite, and you want to say Sean Connery, you want to say whatever, you know, if you're probably a little bit younger like me, you'd say Pierce Brosnan because he was, like, your first one or something. But Daniel Craig, no, he's Bond to me now. He's...
Well, showing my age, Roger Moore.
Roger Moore was
my Bond.
Was that, like, the 80s? Early
90s? So growing up as a kid, yeah, Roger Moore was, like, his movies seemed to be on more than the others. The Spy Who Loved Me was a particular favourite. We're derailing from Spectre again.
Which is fine.
But yeah, no, I agree. Like, Daniel Craig, really, at this stage, he is James Bond. Incredible.
Yeah. Now, of course, we've got both Moneypenny, Q, and Ralph Fiennes taking over, well, not taking over the role, but taking over the position of M, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, so we've got to see him become M at the end of Skyfall.
I don't know. I think I'm liking this ensemble of a cast. Like...
It's good that Sam Mendes was able to come back because he set things up perfectly.
To make, like, a movie with the characters that he wanted.
The end of Skyfall was what you know James Bond to be.
Mm.
With M, Moneypenny.
It's like if it had ended with Skyfall, that would have been like the beginning of the original series of films sort of thing. Like that's...
Yeah, it could have been followed by Dr. No.
Trippy. All right, cool. Now, obviously, we have some new faces... Dr. Swan, Mr. Hinks, Blofeld, and Max, or C, whatever you want to call him.
Let's go with C.
Let's go with C. We'll just call him C.
Nice. And we know what C stands for.
You got that joke too?
Cat.
I think it was... What was it? It was...
I think we know what it is.
Yeah. No, the M actually said it, and it was... It wasn't what... I laughed, but then he said it, and I was like, oh, no, don't fix it up.
Well, it's the spy agency. Everyone seems to get allocated a letter. M, Q, C... Whether it's, you know, C, S, double E, all seeing, or whether it's the other C word. But
we'll never know for sure. But yeah, so being a Bond movie, obviously you get a Bond girl. This time around we get two.
And not only that, one of the two, played by Monica Bellucci, Lucia Sciarra, the oldest actress ever to play a Bond girl, and the only time the Bond girl has been older than the actor playing James Bond.
Oh, he doesn't... Age is not it's just a number for him. He's...
But there was a big song and dance about Monica playing an older Bond girl, or a Bond woman, if you like. So I did think we were going to get more from that character.
Yeah.
You know...
Oh, she sort of played her part. He got the information from her that he needed.
And that's it. Done. Off. I just thought there was such a build-up for that character... You know, whether it's in the press, you know, again, just about the age factor, and it didn't go as far.
Well, that's it with media, you know, they'll hype up, they'll try and find a story whenever they can. But ideally, I think really the Bond girl for this film is Lea Seydoux, Madeleine Swann.
And I thought she was good.
Yeah, she's a hottie.
Okay, I thought...
I paused there for a
I thought the pause was going to be followed by a disagreement.
Nah, she's good, lad. Yeah, it seems... Obviously, with these movies sort of carrying on from, like, the Casino Royale storyline, you know, with Vespa being, you know, Bond's lost love kind of thing, it seems like this Swan lady is, I don't know, a nice fit for him. Sort of, it worked. Like, yeah. She can handle herself sort of thing, knows how to work a gun, and, yeah, they're a good pair.
She did turn around very, very quickly from not being interested to being in love.
Oh, yeah.
That was like, that was quick.
All you need is a quick fight on a train and you're there, you're in.
Okay, the fight on the train. So the other person we've not quite got to wasn't the first time we saw him, but the second, Mr. Hinks, Dave Bautista.
So he was popping up sort of now and then throughout the movie, just kind of being scary and quiet.
Well, I think the idea behind this character is to bring back that trademark classic Bond henchman.
Yeah, the henchman, that's like... The first aspect of this feeling like a Bond movie, the henchman. And yeah, you get him from him. He's big, he's overpowering, he just doesn't say a thing.
He's got a very strong presence. Yeah, and he just swears. Like, he has one line. One word of dialogue. And then he disappeared. Glorious. And I've got to say, I'd be surprised if we didn't see him again. Just like we got to see Jules again.
It would
after
almost
Spy
be
Love Me.
Ridiculous if he didn't die, though.
No, I don't think we've not seen the last of him.
Oh, okay, well...
You mark my words. We will see Mr. Hinks again.
Mr. Hinks.
Okay.
Now the man running the show.
Franz Oberhauser.
Yes, or Blofeld. Classic Bond villain.
We're going there straight away.
We're just going to get
in there. The big reveal. Okay. I mean, was there any doubt in your mind that he was Blofeld?
I thought it was Blofeld, like, since the... Well, when they started talking about Spectre, you know, and all that, I was like, yeah, surely they'll have Blofeld.
James! I'm behind everything! I know that doesn't sound like Christoph Waltz. And that's not even a direct quote. But, paraphrasing.
But to go on to Christoph Waltz, was he not a great, scary son of a bitch? I really like him as an actor, and he plays a villain very well. I think, yeah, he worked good without going over the top as a Bond villain.
I'm going to tell you where I'm at, right? I prefer Franz Oberhauser to his portrayal of Blofeld. When you first get to see...
Oh, and he's just quiet.
Yeah. Calm. And just really sinister, and everybody is afraid when he's in that board meeting.
But then suddenly he's like, I'm going to give you 3 minutes to blah, 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 or I'm going to inject you in the brain for some reason. I guess, yeah.
By
he
kind of
goes to crazy supervillain.
Blofeld is mustache twirling. he's got his white cat jumping all over the place.
All I wanted him to do was to hold it once and stroke it. That's all I wanted.
What I do like about the reveal, though, because, I mean, again, it clearly wasn't a surprise that Christoph Waltz was or is Blofeld.
I still questioned it, though. I was like, okay, well, might not do it. That's what I was thinking. I was like, oh, then maybe they're not.
I was confident all the way through. But I like the fact that it wasn't revealed as part of a big announcement. It was almost like a throwaway line. He's just talking to James. He just mentioned that, oh, I now go by Blofeld.
Yeah,
it's like my mother's name.
That's it. Like I sat there and I was like, oh. I don't think anyone else in the cinema at the time cared. to each their own, hey?
One more thing on Blofeld. I've got a question for you. So we get to see Oberhauser committing all these crimes or masterminding all these crimes. And then, as an audience member, you get the reveal that he's actually Blofeld. Does that reveal change anything for you? Like, does it make the movie better or does it detract from it?
I think for me it made it better. In the same way that Naomi Harris was, you know, revealed to be Moneypenny at the end of Skyfall, I was like, oh, like they're bringing back some old original characters and bring them into this series of films. Very cool. So, same feelings, but, yeah, with a villain, so that's cool. And a big one as well. Like, he's, what, in 4 or something movies? I mean, he's the one that Dr. Evil's based on kind of thing. You know, he's the Bond villain.
It's interesting you brought up that comparison because Austin Powers did it first. Another thing with this movie, you find out that James Bond and Blofeld half brothers.
Yeah.
Austin Powers did it first.
Ugh. Yeah, Goldmember. Did it.
Did it first.
So
you have like the greatest spy in the world, the greatest villain mastermind in the world, half brothers, know each other. Does that not like shrink the world slightly for you? Like the world's not as big as you think.
It's like classic Earth. But it's cool. Again, like Skyfall, they sort of managed to bring in, I guess, a personal aspect to the story. It wasn't just some guy who had a vendetta against Bond for some reason or whatever reason. It was, he really had a vendetta against him.
Yeah.
As a person, who he was before he worked for MI6.
Well, he was a little blue-eyed kid that got brought in by his dad.
Liked him more, I guess.
He could ski better, he could just do everything better, and then you had little Blofeld upstairs doing his homework.
Yeah, probably just playing with the cat. Okay. So, yeah, just the last, new character that we've gone in is Andrew Scott as C. So the runner of, the one in charge of the opposing agency.
My immediate thought when I saw him, bad guy.
Yeah, I wasn't sure, I just thought he might have been a douche. But
looks like a bad guy. And I guess I'm bringing excess baggage here. He plays Moriarty in the Sherlock TV series.
Ah, so he plays a good villain, eh?
Yeah, so Moriarty, as you know, is Sherlock Holmes' Blofeld. So he kind of brought that with me.
I just didn't know which way they'd go with him. Like, maybe he was just going to be a bit of a douche and then maybe he learned his lesson by the end of it.
Well, when he's showing off the new building that is being built for the new spy organisation, because they're trying to stop the 00 program. It's not effective. They're going to use drones. And they show this new shiny building that's going to be the new agency. And there's the comment that the Prime Minister didn't approve of that building. We got funding from elsewhere. Yes, you did. Spectre. Spectre's paying for it. Because as soon as you see that building,
the bad guys, you're like, have given you money.
That is a bad guy lair. It might as well have been a volcano.
Like, those steps, Bart, like, yeah, you're right. You might as well have been walking up a volcano. Like, who wants to? Where was the elevator? Come on. Ridiculous. But look good. Okay, so now we've talked about Spectre, or we've talked about Blofeld and stuff. What we get from this movie is the reveal that Spectre has pretty much been running the show these past three movies, or four, whichever way you want to go. So from Quantum of Solace, everything with Vespa.
Well, from Casino Royale.
What did I say?
Quantum of Solace.
I did, sorry.
That's fine.
So yeah, from Casino Royale, everything with Vespa, Spectre. Quantum of Solace, they already were talking about in Quantum of Solace of, you know, a bigger organization running the show. And I was like, oh, I wonder if that's Spectre.
Well, with that though, like, Quantum of Solace, like, Quantum is the name of this evil organization.
I thought it was Quantum was like a guy, wasn't it?
No, Quantum is the agency.
Oh,
and then
like
it's revealed
anyway,
in Spectre that Quantum is just a different department of Spectre.
Yes,
it's the same. So Quantum works with for Spectre. With this movie, they're saying that, okay, so the big bads you've seen in these previous movies,
just Spectre agents.
Yeah, are just working for Blofeld. Now, for me personally, that did detract slightly.
Only, like, sort of belittled the other movie villains?
Yeah, especially when Blofeld is revealed to, in my opinion, this interpretation, not that good.
Oh, okay.
It's not. Again, I preferred Franz to Blofeld. Showing these previous villains, Javier Bardem in Skyfall, I thought was fantastic. But he was just working for Blofeld.
Yeah, like, he was, his presence and his intensity was all coming from just himself. Well, that's what they were portraying anyway. But, I mean, I guess it just means, like, they were on the payroll. Like, they had their own reasons for doing things, especially.
They were, but I preferred it when they were their own big bads.
Yeah.
But we got Quantum.
I did enjoy it as a franchise building, as a overarching story. I really liked it. I think it tied them all together. And with Quantum of Solace being the weakest entry in the series, it kind of gave it a bit more legitimacy, like a reason for it being there. I don't know.
But we only got Quantum because the studio didn't have the rights to Spectre. Otherwise, Quantum just would have been Spectre. And then when they got the rights back in time for this movie, there was a shuffle. It's like, oh, yeah, no, Quantum. Yeah, it is Spectre. It's part of the same thing.
Okay, you've said that. Fair enough. That kind of makes me angry. But I guess they've done what they can with it to bring it all together. And I've enjoyed that. So I give them a thumbs up for that, for being like, okay, now we can do this. Let's tie up loose ends and sort of bring it all together. And I like the way they did it.
Can you remember the days of James Bond movies just being one and done? Just like the books, where one film, one adventure. You'd get a mini adventure, opening credits, then the movie. And then that was it. There was no real.
Well, literally everything
tissue.
Before Casino Royale, that was the first one. Well, at least when you get to Quantum of Solace, that's the first time you go, hey, they're talking about stuff that happened in the last. What? That's weird.
And I guess Casino Royale onwards is when they change gears from making James Bond movies to James Bond films. You know, so it wasn't just like a big dumb blockbuster.
Yeah. Well, Quantum of Solace. But besides that one, yeah, they were legitimate films. They were artistically made and well put together. They really were good films.
It's Sam Mendes. He's used them too.
But despite being Casino Royale to Spectre being its own thing, what we do get is basically we still get a Bond movie. It's still a Bond movie. The Bond theme's there. And what I noticed is that they probably used it more in Spectre than they have in the past over the past three. Obviously, Casino Royale, they chose not to use it until the very end when he said his name for creative reasons. I think Quantum of Solace, they basically omitted it. They used it a little bit near the end.
You got the gun barrel at the end of Skyfall. And then, to my delight, opens with it on Spectre.
Yeah, which normally they have sort of like their cold opening and then it'll be some sort of dramatic moment, and then the gun barrel. So
Spectre is telling us, like, this is James Bond. This is James Bond that you know. He's fully up and running, fully operational, and then he gets grounded. He gets slapped on the wrist for doing the wrong thing, causes an incident.
And it's like, you're not going to be James Bond anymore. Like, you're not going to be 007, you're out. But no, like, just with the music and I guess more things, but this felt the most like I said with Quantum of Solace, how it felt like a Bond movie, but in all the bad ways. Spectre felt like a Bond movie, but in all the good ways.
Oh, I agree. And Spectre had the most references, other Bond movies or other movies, than any of them. Like, there were so many throwbacks.
What do you think of all the action stuff? I know in a few of them they've been a bit...
I mean, what about that opening? So you've got the Day of the Dead festival.
Yeah. You've got lots of very cool visuals.
But it opens with James Bond wearing a skeleton costume, and you could just see those piercing blue eyes of Daniel Craig through the mask. It's like, yep, that's
him. Tell it was him. Weird. Like, his face was covered.
And then he's with the girl, or he's with the woman, and then he's like, I won't be long. Which was the only... I think that was the first line of dialogue, and then there's nothing else said for maybe 10, 15 minutes. It's almost played out like action. A silent movie. It's all action, and it's supposed to look...
One of the loudest silent movies I've ever seen.
It's supposed to look like one tracking shot. I think I listened to an interview with Sam Mendes, and he broke it down to, I think, three, but very, like, unnoticeable cuts. Like, I didn't see any.
I would love to rewatch that again and try and then see how seamless that is.
And you've got the fight in the helicopter. And they really had the helicopter. They really had that many extras. And then the close-ups inside the helicopter, that was filmed on a studio.
Oh, fair enough, yeah.
But the actual helicopter swirling around.
That's why it looked real. I was like, well, that's very good. You know, like, you get... I found that the special effects in Casino Royale and Skyfall, very good. Like, very realistic sort of action. Not over-the-top, silly kind of, you know... Quantum of Solace, you kind of get those scenes, the opening scene, car chase, just like... falling through buildings, CGI all over the place. But yeah, this one, again, back to grounded sort of, even though over the top, but not silly. They just stop before it gets ridiculous.
But what I love about this James Bond is a brawler. So when he fights, it's a real tussle. He's not like throwing fancy punches or kicks. Yeah. You know, it's a real like rolling around on the ground fight.
You notice that first from Casino Royale, like he gets in there, he starts really... laying punches and stuff, not just shooting everyone. And yeah, it's gone back to that. It's come back and he's really getting physical in this one. I love it. But on top of the action, did you notice how funny this movie was?
Hugely funny. Well, especially compared to the previous movies. Like, I think I said earlier, like, Daniel Craig really has loosened up in this movie.
Yeah, like, he was brooding quite a bit.
I mean, even the opening, we're talking about this great action when he's falling off the building and he lands on the couch.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Even just before that, you mentioned how, you know, he takes his lady friend up to that room, hotel, whatever it is. And, you know, he's like, oh, where's this guy? This looks exciting. And then it cuts back to him and he's changed his outfit, almost like a comedy scene.
Yep.
I was like, is this for real? Like, what movie is this? This is, that type of humor was very strange, but I think it fitted to... his character, his charisma.
Yeah, I mean, the whole film really did have a good balance. And we talked about it quite a bit earlier, the C word.
Yeah.
Just things like that, yeah.
Like, we know what C stands for.
We do. Again, cat. Moving on.
I think he says clumsy. I think that's what it is.
Okay.
Maybe. That's all right.
Well, what I liked about this movie, there's some really cool lines in there. Probably my favourite is a license to kill is also a license not to kill.
Oh, yeah. No, very important. Very passionate, that one. Yeah, there was one sort of when Bond's visiting Q, or, you know, he's trying to pick some stuff up. And yeah, they look at the old Aston Martin sitting there, or just the shell of it. And Q says, I told you to bring it back in one piece, not just one piece. And then he laughs and he's like holding his hips like he's so proud of himself. Like,
nailed it.
It's like, I love that, man. But yeah, you're right. There's heaps of those sort of lines in there. I wish I could think of some more, actually. But yeah, watch the movie and enjoy it if you haven't already. But yeah, let's wrap this up then. Overall thoughts. Sum them up for me. Give me a rating out of...
how many double O's out of five?
What? Okay.
That takes us up to 005.
Okay, done.
Okay. It's a tough one. Like, I walked out of Skyfall loving it instantly.
Yeah.
This is a movie that, I mean, I watched it a couple of days ago and I've had to sit with it for a while. And I'm going to give it 004 out of 5.
Okay.
Immediately after watching the movie, it wasn't quite that high. But after giving it some thought, I did really enjoy it. Although it's the longest Bond movie,
It
didn't feel overly long. Daniel Craig really makes this movie. It was great in the video seeing M again, Judi Dench. And it really did tie up everything. The movie ended with him walking off into the sunset.
As if, like, if they stopped here?
It can be taken as this is the end, he's going to give up being a secret agent, or he's just going on holiday, which is how I'd like to think about it.
I think every time the movie opens, he's on holiday, isn't he?
For me, this movie ends with James Bond going on holiday, Daniel Craig hopefully will be back. 004 out of 5.
Okay, cool. Much in the same. To me, this felt very much like a Bond movie, but again, in the best way possible. So all the good elements of what makes a Bond movie good was in this film. Long runtime, but yeah, not one point was I bored or thinking, oh, wow, this is going long. Didn't feel like that at all. Every time there was like a slow moment or like an intimate moment or something, action kicked right back in, but it wasn't just out of nowhere. There was a reason for it. Pushed the story forward. I love Skyfall, the best one so far. But, you know, if I was to rate Skyfall a 004 out of 5, this would have to be a 005 out of 5. But it has flaws. It's not quite there. So I'm going to have to do a 004 and a half.
Whew, what a roller coaster.
Out of 005.
I thought we were going to get a 5.
No, we weren't. No. It's not a perfect movie, but damn, I enjoyed it more than, just a little bit more than Skyfall. And that's where I'm at. Finish us off with some trivia. Let's get the hell out of here.
Okay. Fourth appearance by Daniel Craig as James Bond. Speculation around the time of the release of Spectre has amounted as to whether Craig will do a fifth film. Craig's fourth appearance as James Bond ties with Pierce Brosnan's number of appearances in the Bond film franchise. Together, they tie for the actor with the third most number of appearances in a Bond film, after Roger Moore with 7. And Sean Connery with 6. But the latter also ties with more if one counts the unofficial Bond film Never Say Never Again from 1983.
Whoa!
That's just stat overload. So many stats.
Good luck following whatever the hell you just said.
I mean, I forgot it already.
And that takes us out. If you like what you're hearing, follow us on Facebook or Twitter. This and all of our other podcasts are available on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. We also have our website, www.thatfilmstewpodcast.weebly.com, where we post original content weekly. Thanks for listening.
Cuckoo!
Come to the coast, we get together, have a few laughs.
What? No small talk? No chit-chat?